Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Truth or Demons podcast. I'm your host, Stevie, and today I have another fantastic interview for you. I sit down with Chuck Carter. Chuck has a lot of experience in the field of paranormal investigations. He's got great insight and opinions, and he has firsthand experience with Ed and Lorraine Warren. He had some really great stories to share with me, and I'm so excited to share them with you all. And I truly enjoyed some different opinions on the Warrens. So sit back and please enjoy this conversation I got to have with Chuck Carter. Oh, and one quick little thing. I apologize for any barking in this interview or previous interviews. My guests and I all love our fur babies so much, and sometimes they just want to be part of the show. So please enjoy the interview and the occasional bark. If you would, please introduce yourself for the listeners and tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Chuck. Been an enthusiast of the paranormal since I was a little kid, growing up in New Jersey. You know, like, you know, most people in the 80s, you have TV shows and everything. It just kind of suckered me in. We lived in a haunted house. A lot of my friends would love to come over just to try to experience things. I attended everything I could. I tried to learn as much as I could. And in my older years, I formed a couple paranormal teams, been on radio, been in books. Just, it's a field I absolutely adore, a field I love, and a field that I want to see grow.
I love that. So, how did you first start working in the field of the paranormal?
My first actual ghost hunt, I hooked up with a guy that I had met online in Oklahoma, and that's when I first got my own equipment and was shown a lot more. When I was younger, growing up, I had experiences with Ed, Lorraine, John Zaffis, Jason Hawes, Grant Wilson, kind of shown here or there. I was a kid, nobody showed me anything too serious. But investigating my apartment complex that I lived in would have been my very first full-time investigation. Had an apartment that just had one closet. If that door was open, my cat at the time would go crazy and growl. People would have blankets ripped off of them.
Oh, and
like
wow.
Most idiots, I decided to throw a satanic Bible in that closet. All hell broke loose, so.
Oh, wow. So when you investigated that apartment, did you find anything outside of your apartment?
Oddly enough, I had lived in 4 different apartments in that complex. One of them I had taken over from my parents, and that one had the best evidence. My wife, when she moved in, she would take a bath and she could see something going across, you know, the wall. She's seen shadow figures in there. I did a EVP session in which the second I turned it on, I walked up the stairs and you heard 2 distinct voices. Is he gone? And yeah. You know, a lot of orb photos, which I discredit now, but at the time I was so young, I thought, oh, wow. But a lot of EVPs, a lot of things coming up missing and then reappearing in random spots.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know that phenomenon well.
Yeah.
I experienced that when I was a kid a lot.
Well, we have a child spirit that lingers with my wife and I, so we experience it a lot. Things coming up missing, hearing a child's laughter. My wife, at the house we live at now, which was my mother's house, she went to do a load of laundry, and she had heard, I want to say, something call her mommy, but my kids were at school.
Oh, wow.
You know, my mother, she had nothing to do with it. I've seen little hand, little fingers grab my pillows. So it's something I've discussed with a few people, and even John Zaffis, I spoke with him about, you know, what it could be. So it's just something that's followed us.
Oh, wow, yeah. What did John have to say about it?
Without investigating it, the first time I spoke with him, he told me to basically be careful. It could be something masquerading. And he's, at the time, unfortunately, he was so busy with Haunted Collector that there really wasn't a whole lot. He just essentially told me to be very careful, not to trust it.
Yeah.
And to watch, which I've been around many, quote-unquote, demonic, and nothing has happened. I mean, it's just been very nice.
Okay.
Calming. You know, it doesn't affect us in the slightest.
Well, that's good. That's comforting to know that you're not being duped by something much more evil.
90% of the quote-unquote evil and demonic is just, in my views, nothing more inhuman. I don't put a whole lot of stock in the demonic. This, what, 2% of the cases are ever truly something demonic?
That's what I hear, yeah. There's a lot of fear in it, but not a lot of substantiating evidence.
Correct.
All right, so you mentioned the Warrens. How did you meet them?
I know when I was younger, I had seen them on a couple of different programs. And I want to say it was my mother. I could be wrong. My memory is horrible. I apologize, everyone.
No worries. But mine's the same.
I remember being taken into Connecticut, and whether it was something they had hosted or there was some reason, so I got the chance to meet Ed and Lorraine, you know, these people I've seen on TV, I've heard about, I've read about. And that's just where the illusion died for myself.
Oh, when you met them?
Yes, when I met them, the first time I thought Ed was a very serious, sincere gentleman. To this day, I think the world of Ed. I make no mistakes about it. But I did not feel comfortable around Lorraine. At all. I did not trust her. I just felt uncomfortable. You know, and my second meeting with them solidified that I just had nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
You know, I explained our home in New Jersey, and, oh, it's a demon. It's this. And, you know, everything was just doom and gloom. I'm haunted. I'm this. I need to have them come. And I hate to say it, and it's one of those things where I saw Ed actually roll his eyes.
Really?
While she was talking.
Oh, wow.
In my opinion and in my investigations, everything, what she would say, you do not say to anybody, ever. You know, I'm not a client. You're not investigating me, you know, to tell somebody that they're being haunted by something. You don't do, especially to a child.
Yeah.
And they just wanted money. I mean, everything they did, it, upon research, was money. You pay us to come do this. You pay us to investigate. So they made money, and then they made more money off of, you know, the books that they wrote and the movies that they put out.
Mm-hmm. And the lectures. So a lot of people will say that they didn't charge for their services, but they did ask for, like, money to get there and stuff, correct?
Correct. They wanted room and board. You know, you had to pay their fuel, which, you know, at the time, maybe I understand, but they basically wanted them to be put up in hotels.
Oh, okay.
You know, pay for food, and you just don't do that.
Yeah. That's it.
The deal comes out of our pockets. You know, I've done a lot of investigating. I've been all over. You know, I even did tours, and I never not one red cent ever went to my pocket. I spent more than I ever brought in.
Yeah, and one of my biggest hang-ups with my research on the Warrens is how much money they did make off of people in various ways, and it seems like it kind of bugs me a little bit that they wanted money for room and board when their movies kind of portray them as going and staying there with the families to live in and experience what they're dealing with.
And if you watch the movies and you buy into that, you know, the Enfield Poltergeist is a great example. They moved in and they were a part of the family.
Yep.
They spent 15 minutes there and then walked out, and the lead investigator, to speed the lead, Ed said, we can make a fortune off of this. And the investigator just said, do what you want and walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, it came to money, and they were in there for 15 minutes. They didn't live there. They didn't live with the Thrawn family.
Yep.
You know, they didn't do anything at Amity. You know, there's so much out there that they're pushing to make these, I apologize, but horrible movies. To be so real. And,
yeah, they really are.
Paranormal Activity is scarier than, you know, those movies. And
yeah. I enjoyed the creativeness that went into the films, but beyond that, they irritate me because I hate the narrative that they push. I hate the twisting of the stories, especially the twisting of actual true facts of other people that existed in this world. So it's very frustrating.
You're going to get that through Hollywood. I mean, Amityville, for example, look at how many films have been brought out because of, you know, Jay Anson and Georgia Caffey.
Yeah.
And how much truth has been stretched just to make a buck. I understand that. That's what you do. You have to make money. And horror sells.
Yes.
Cheap B-horror films are what keep us horror fans alive.
Yes. So yeah, that actually bugs me a lot about Amityville that you bring that up. Everywhere you look, like media-wise, or if you know, if you talk to most people, they'll say that they heard about Ed and Lorraine through the story of Amityville. And like you said, they didn't do anything with that. They went with the news crew the one time and did their seance, and then the news crew says nothing happened at all, and then the investigators said, yeah, we had all kinds of stuff happening, so...
Much like everything else that surrounds Ed and Lorraine Warren, you don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
I have been to that home many a time. Outside, many, many times. I've been inside the home once for a grand total of 15 minutes. For Lorraine to come out and tell the world that this house is clear, well, like she's, you know, from the Poltergeist films, you know, no.
Yeah.
That house was not clear. That house is, whatever's in that house is evil. It is pure evil. However, you got Lorraine telling everybody it's clear and, oh, we had a lot of activity. The footage is out of the seance in which they got no activity at all. You know, the news crew are looking around going,
yeah,
this is a waste of TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's public knowledge. It's out there.
Okay, so... Do you believe what's in the home affected Ronald DeFeo?
Yes, I do.
You do? Do you? So in that case, do you believe it affected George Lutz, or do you think George Lutz just tried to profit off of it?
I think George profited off of it. George did have a lot of, he had his own business, he had a lot of debt, and there was an interview I had read, I believe Butch may have done it, or Butch's lawyer may have done it, that essentially said when he purchased the home, they went right to the lawyer, and that's when Jay Anson got brought in. He was in over his head. Do I believe that something happened to George, Kathy, and the Lutz children? 1,000%.
Okay.
I do not think it was 28 days of pure hell.
Yeah.
I do believe something happened.
Yeah.
I was in it for 15 minutes, and I experienced, you know, mine, which... I apologize to anybody. There's only a few things I will say and things I will not say because I've been married for almost 20 years and I still haven't told my wife everything.
And that's fair. That's fair. But I will,
you know, there are things, I believe Butch was a heroin addict. Butch changed his story countless times.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you ever go to that home, their neighbors are 5 feet away. I mean, the homes are very close in New England.
Yes.
You're going to hear these shotgun blasts.
Yes.
You're going to, the dog didn't even wake up. I mean.
Yeah, and that's something that's always made me scratch my head about that case. That one really, really, really bothered me.
Yes. It, above everything, that home is one of my biggest obsessions in life. I talk about it. I have dreamt about it. I've been, you know, been there. I've yelled at friends of mine for going to that home and warn them to stay away from it.
Yeah.
They didn't listen, but you know, I still,
so,
you know, I just, there's more going, and I mean, if you ask me that home, if you want to learn more about that home, Hans Holzer's who you have to turn to. Ed and Lorraine, you know, come at me, I don't care. They were a joke, they were lying.
No. I Eric mentioned that too, Hans Holzer. I'm going to have to do an episode on him so I can do a deep dive for the listeners and present that information for them, because I'm sure they'd love to hear about him.
Yes, Hans Holzer did several investigations on it. He does have a book with, it's got three different, one of them is only a fiction story he wrote, but Hans did a very deep dive, and even though he used mediums, which I don't personally put a ton of stock in, Hans did his research, and there's a lot to be learned with it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I appreciate someone who does their research, because that's one of my biggest obsessions is the research.
Yes, and that one, I mean, he talks about the original home that was on the property that had been moved, and how anything that was happening ceased when they moved the homes, and talks about, you know, some of the lore, the Indian lore, the, you know, Ketchum stuff that they brought up in 2009.
Yeah.
And he kind of just was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I covered a little bit of that in my episode about Amityville.
It's, I will say this, to, as I had expressed, a lot of what happened there, something changed inside me. I've never truly been myself. Something was sucked out of me, and when I was watching a documentary back in the early 2000s, the little boy photo was shown, and I've heard, oh, well, that's just somebody that worked with, you know, the Warrens. I don't believe it is, because if you look at it, he looks a lot like one of the Bale children.
I thought so too, and a lot of people argue he doesn't, but I kind of thought he did.
Yeah, the eyes are glowing. It wasn't, you could tell it wasn't spectacles. And I went on a spiral. I freaked out, you know, felt like a panic attack. Could not understand for the life of me why that photo did what it did. I've seen that child. It took me a little bit. I've seen that. It didn't exactly look 100% like it, but I've seen that child. Whatever it is in that home is trying to lull people into, hey, all sense of security, safety.
Okay.
And so, that's, I will say, I will talk about that. You know, there's a few other things that just let me know there is something pure evil. What it is, I don't know, but I don't think anybody will ever know.
Yeah. And what do you think about, so I spoke with someone who attempted to purchase the home once when it was up for sale, and they were a paranormal enthusiast, and they actually asked the current resident of the time, this was several years ago, if they had had any experiences in the home. And the person responded with, the worst that happened to them there was the droves of people that would come to see the house trying to have an experience. So, what do you think, why do you think it, if there's something there, why do you think it's dormant for some of the people that have lived there after?
When I was in the home, you could tell us to be it open. I don't believe that that home has ever fully been lived in. I think people come in, you know, they purchase a home. It could be a summer home. It could be a, you know, place to get away type of home in that area. I mean, it's a beautiful area. Amity is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it is really pretty. And it's got the boathouse and everything.
Exactly. I don't think that it was a full-time home. And yes, you know, they changed the windows. They changed the address. And I have heard the same story, you know, which that did become the Amityville Horror. It's the people that want to see a part of horror history and this amazing ghost story that came out like Home and Garden.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do understand on that, but I also kind of believe that not everybody will accept what is happening.
Yeah, I can see that too.
You know, you see something and you just, oh, well, the house is settling. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
I have family members that are like, oh, there's nothing there. Ghosts aren't real. You're crazy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They don't want to.
Yeah, my grandparents own a home, and myself, my brother, and my mom all believe and have had experiences in this home and think that there is something there. And both my grandparents will tell you, no, this home's not haunted. You're crazy. And they live there full time, and I'm sure they are very prone to just explaining away anything they see or hear to be just normal house stuff.
Unfortunately, I like to say people get the, they dumb it down. I'm not saying people are dumb. They dumb it down in their brain. It's not real. If I don't believe it, it's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just had a mental brain fart. Well, I put my keys over here instead of over here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've told myself such things before just because that's how I am. Like, I'm absent-minded, and if I, who knows if I did it or not? I don't remember.
I used to do that. However, the older I've gotten, I'm very anal on where I put my keys. I'm very conscious of where I put things, and things will still come up missing.
Yeah.
Will disappear, and then, example, my wife's AirPods disappeared for like 2 weeks, less than a year ago. We tore the house apart, and I got extremely upset because they were expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Only to literally find them in the drawer right next to her side of the bed. But I know she's looked at, and I looked.
Yeah, those kind of experiences are really hard. I had one like that when I was a kid. My mom was missing a ring, and she immediately thought me or a friend had maybe admired it and taken it, and I explained, no, you know, we didn't. I promise I didn't, and my friends didn't, nothing like that. And a few weeks went by, and she was in her room cleaning, and she was piling up laundry to do laundry, and she took one pile into the laundry room and came back for the next pile, and in the floor where one of the piles was, the ring was right in the middle on top of it.
Yes. And I've had that a lot. And it's not just the home I own now. It's my home in New Jersey. You know, my apartment complex in Oklahoma, like I said, that one, forget about it. You're going to lose a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That's a common one I hear. When my grandparents first moved into their home back in the 90s, there was a key that, like an old kind of skeleton key that went in the front door, and that's how the front door would lock because it was really old, and they just never bothered to update it. And the key would disappear randomly, even though we always left it in the keyhole because it was the only way to unlock and lock the door, and it would just randomly disappear, so the door couldn't be used for that time that it was missing, and then it would just randomly show back up where it was supposed to be.
That is probably, in my experience, of people, everyone has their own opinions, their own experiences. That is one of the most common I've ever had. You know, things come up missing, and I find them. Things, you know, appear in the most unlikely of places after you're extremely upset. And unfortunately, it also gets taken advantage of. Bring it back to Amity, they claim money came up missing. And
oh, yeah. That's right.
A while later.
I remember that now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where through time and experience, you start kind of noticing those things, and that's when you'll take them more serious.
Yeah.
Not everybody will.
Yeah, and if they don't get either off, if they don't start happening often enough or in enough attention-grabbing ways. They're easily overlooked by people who don't have time for it.
Exactly. And all it is trying to get attention. You know, trying to say something's going on, something's here, and it doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
I've lived in this home 2 years, and, you know, that, as far as things coming up missing, it's only happened a handful of times. And a lot of times I'll say, oh, it's me, I want paying attention, or but yeah. It's not my stuff, it's my wife's. Yeah, I know. That woman knows what she does with everything.
And that was hard for my brother and I growing up, because my mom was the opposite of that. She'd lose her own head, you know, if it wasn't attached. So if stuff came up missing, we never knew if it was something she misplaced or if she didn't remember or if something actually misplaced it for her.
That's definitely things I've tried to go into and I've tried to research. I just don't have the time. I got out of the world of investigating actively due to a number of things, but just time right now is one of them. I get 2 days a week at home, and I can't really spend as much time as I would like actually investigating. My son got heavily into it, so he likes to, you know, do things around the house, as little EMF and everything.
Oh, nice. So how do you feel about the, like, the EMF and some of the other equipment that's used in paranormal investigating?
I put a lot of stock in the EMF. The K2 meter is perhaps my absolute favorite. There's a lot of these things that are used and are doted on. Can't really put a whole lot of stock in, but the SLS cameras, I guess I'm more old school.
Yeah.
Quarter, you know, a camera and your EMF, and you're going to get pretty much every evidence you need. I mean, not everybody has enough to run out and buy thermal cameras and fancy equipment. I mean, the Shack Hack radios were great.
Yeah, Eric mentioned that. Yeah, I don't particularly care for the ones that spit out words, because I feel like programming is too easily done by those who can program, so I have a hard time with those.
Well, that's the equipment. Everything in this field could be easily misconstrued. Everything could be a haunting if you look at it. I mean, for Christ's sakes, turn on the Travel Channel, watch Ghost Adventures, everything's haunted.
Yeah, exactly. Every 3 minutes, something's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you got that guy who, in all fairness, has made a killing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, has drugged this field through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, he's rich and those that really, truly care don't have anything.
Yeah.
But you can't, I feel like you can't always put stock into everything, because just because you're sitting there and something sounds like it says your name, you know, it's cycling through radios and your ears will make sense of pareidolia.
Yes.
Your ears, your eyes will see what your brain says.
Yes. So and if you're...
That's why I like EMF better. It's there or it's not.
I agree. Yeah. The static one gets me too, because I'll listen to some of these paranormal investigators I see on YouTube, and they'll have nothing but static, but they'll be like, they'll stop it and be like, oh, did you hear that? It said this, and then they'll play it back. And if you listen hard enough, you can make it say that in your mind. Like, you can pick that up in the sounds the static's making.
The second somebody tells you that I heard Truth or Demons podcast, well, when you hear it back, your brain is going to immediately pick that up, so you're going to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, and
when I would investigate, I would ask my team, what did you hear? What did you see? And I would let them discuss first, and then I would say, okay, this is what I heard, this is what I saw, so let's go back in.
Yeah, I like that. That's a better scientific method, I think, than trying to convince everyone of what one person heard.
Which is, I mean, the Ghost Hunter show, which we all loved, you know, in the earlier seasons, unfortunately, they did that a lot, and that's kind of what bothered me and why I wouldn't allow, when I was a part of the investigations, I wouldn't allow people to influence it. It was, no, what did you hear? Because this is what I heard, and I will say after. And go back in, and if you couldn't make sense of it, or if one person was convinced that, oh, well, it said Chuck, or it said this, I would throw it away as evidence, but I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
That's the clearest EVP I've ever gotten was the, is he gone? And yeah, I mean, everything else is whispers or hard to understand.
Yeah, and I appreciate a team or an individual who is more likely to say, we're really not sure that it's, you know, up for debate, but we still think we got something, versus it's definitely this. This is what we heard. No question.
If you do that, you destroy the field.
I agree.
If you tell people what it is, then you're not furthering. You're hindering, and you're making everything out to be some TV show that will make a mockery.
Exactly.
What you care about.
Yes, it makes it harder for disbelievers to believe, and it makes it even harder for legitimate investigators to be taken seriously, because they're not getting it every 3 minutes like the TV people are, so they can't be real either, you know? Like, it's really hard on the actual community.
Yes, and there are a lot of people out there that genuinely love this field.
Mm-hmm.
It does something to you when you're in a location and things start to fire off and you're getting these reactions, these EVPs, these things that are happening. You know, not everything can be on camera. I have personally been bitten, slapped, punched, kicked, scratched, had rocks thrown at me, and there's not a camera there to always catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's always going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in a tour group, having to go make sure that there's no animals or anything before I can allow a group to go up into a location, I've had them pinged in the chest with a rock. I'm alone. There's no way of picking that up. It's experiences that you can talk about, but you can't say, oh, well, that's a ghost because there wasn't anybody else up there.
Yeah.
Was it? I believe, however, I can't provide full proof, so thus I couldn't say anything.
Right, and that's better than just saying what you know. If you, like, I get really frustrated when people are uncomfortable with a lack of answer, because that's where we get all the misinformation being spread, is because someone just needs to have an answer and an explanation, so they just say whatever they think needs to be the answer or explanation.
It ties in with the basic crux of your podcast with the animal rain. That is exactly what they do.
Yes.
What has hurt the field. It's, this is, I discovered you and you started speaking to you over a post about the Annabelle doll, which I've seen socks scarier than the Annabelle doll, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm, you know, well over that, Annabelle that, now.
That story is full of more holes and switch teeth. It's not real.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, folks, it's not real.
Yes, I agree completely, and I'm glad to have someone else. I've actually had more than one person, like more than you. I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I can't believe in her anymore. Just like too many holes, like you said, too many people trying to spread stories that are really not true and claim that they are, so.
I really enjoyed your last podcast you did, the part two.
Yeah.
You brought up the fact that, you know, Mr. Godfather of the Paranormal took Annabelle on a plane.
Yeah.
If it's really that dangerous, and if you would danger anybody, you know, what does that say about you?
Exactly.
You know.
And the way Ed and Lorraine presented it back in the day was, she is that dangerous. She killed somebody on a motorcycle, for goodness sake. They would never put her on an airplane with that kind of, you know, gusto in her power.
She killed somebody on the motorcycle. She
yeah.
scared a hardened police officer so bad that he fled you know, the basement. Everyone calls it a museum. Let's call it what it is. It was their basement.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know that until I started this research, and I was like, really?
You know, we're putting it on tour. I don't see that Florida is not taking Robert Vidal and taking it on tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or any...
And Robert is supposedly just as bad, if not worse, than Annabelle, and it's been around longer.
And they take Robert very seriously. He's got countless letters people have sent. Annabelle doesn't have all that.
And exactly. I mean, we're not touring around things that we honestly believe are dangerous. Is Robert dangerous? I mean, chances are no. It's a great story. And Robert the Doll is why we have Child's Play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was based off of Robert.
Yeah.
You know, is it? I have not been to Florida. I have not seen it. I have seen Annabelle. I wasn't scared of Annabelle. I mean, like I said, to be funny, I've seen socks scary. You know.
Yeah, and
there are possessions that become haunted. This isn't.
Yeah, and I feel like they've really taken, you know, steps to make her scary, like the case she's in and making a dramatic display of switching cases and blessing her. And she's got this one really bugs me. It cracks me up. I've asked several people their thoughts on this, but there's a tarot card pinned to her case, and it's the Devil card. And it just really cracks me up, considering if you were, you know, a true tarot believer, that card does not go with Annabelle in any way.
It's a show, and I get it, you know, with Tony Spira has to make money. He doesn't do anything else. He's got to make money.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, if you or I had that position and were able to, I would probably try to make money off of it as well, just because if I'm not doing anything else, I'm not providing for the world.
Yeah.
However, it is made a mockery, and it makes everything that I stand for, or anybody that's ever seriously investigated, it makes us look like we're a bunch of idiots out there that are just trying to get rich off of something.
Yeah. I
quit a team that I formed because I found out my co-founder just wanted to get rich and wanted to make money, and I walked away based on that. That's not bettering. That's not furthering.
Exactly, because it will turn into the fakeness just to continue the money.
It's high school.
Yeah.
As much as I love this field, it's high school, it's popularity contest.
Yeah.
We're going to fake evidence. And that's, yes, you brought up his name, Eric.
Yeah.
Eric and I have been friends since fifth grade. I love that kid like a brother.
That's awesome.
I do. And when he got interested, I was someone talking to him and trying, and he just took it, ran with it, and has done amazing things with his life and in this field. And I'm very proud of Eric for that.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the people, in Oklahoma especially, we caught a team faking evidence during a tour, because they wanted to make sure people would come back to this location.
Yeah.
This location is one of my favorite locations in America that I've ever visited. I love it to this day. And every time I think about that, I just have to go back. They won't allow back, but the entity in this home, well, it's actually not a home, it's now an old military base, but when I come up to it, you can see it going through the entire house and see the windows vibrating.
Wow.
So there was plenty there, but they chose to throw rocks at windows to try and get people to come back and pay overpriced for a tour they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. My first tour I caught someone faking was the moment I realized that people do that. Like, I knew it was done on TV and stuff, but I didn't realize, you know, in my tiny little world, I didn't know outside of that people actually did tours and faked them to have return customers. And me and my mom are pretty disheartened, because we did tours and our own private ghost hunting since I was a kid. Like, and to learn that, I think I was in my mid-20s when we went on that tour and caught the tour guide faking it. And it was, it kind of hit us like all at once, and wow, we've done a lot of tours. How many people do this? And it was pretty disheartening.
It kills it. It makes it unfun.
Mm-hmm.
My tour, the group I was a part of, if I caught somebody faking or messing with anything, I would throw that person out of the group. It wouldn't be a discussion. You were done. You were gone. Go home.
Yeah, that's good.
It's called the Victorian House. It's in El Reno, Oklahoma. I've gotten an amazing amount of responses there. I've seen things, had good photos back when I had cameras, and there was no need to fake.
Yeah.
If you paid attention, you saw it. A little girl laughing. I've seen my EMF air. I've seen a face sucked back into a chimney with one of my other investigators saw the exact same thing. And again, I wouldn't let him discuss it until we left the location. And what did you see? Okay, this is what I saw.
Wow. That's really awesome, though.
I would not allow any of that, which is why I prefer to be, I guess, a consultant at this point in my life. I know things and I'm willing to help. I just can't get involved in it. I don't want the drama.
Yeah.
And, the Warrens, unfortunately, because of this Conjuring nonsense,
mm-hmm.
that come back up in my life, as I state, I forgot all about
them. Yeah.
I went on with my life, and then I've been on a crusade to say, please listen, these people are scam artists. Unfortunately, it's gotten nowhere, or it's gotten me attacked.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I started this, I didn't know much of the negative side yet. I just knew that I saw the movie and it wasn't true. So I needed to present that. My goal was to present that to listeners so they could learn and grow with me and discover these things. And, what really pushed these narratives, what really, backed them and created them and stuff like that. And then I started learning all the darker things and the more negative aspects of the Warrens themselves and the things that they kind of did to get ahead. And it's been really interesting for me to learn all this as I go. And it's hard to present things now knowing that a lot of it is just, in my opinion, fake. And so I'm trying to share it with people in a neutral way. And then then the negativity started coming, because if I shared anything that wasn't 100% positive or backing their stories and their truths, you'd get people saying, oh, you don't know, you weren't there, the Warrens were amazing. And I've seen so many arguments on the internet, and I've read on Reddit, I've read on Facebook, people get into severe debates over it. And it's just like, I don't understand, because why wouldn't you want to learn and grow, and why wouldn't you accept facts as they're presented to you, just because you loved them as entertainment?
Back in the mid-2000s, Jason and Grant had the same thing when a couple of their people was left. One of their key players, she came out saying they faked evidence all the time, they did this, and there was a huge backlash, in which Grant and I had spoken about it, which he was not very happy, and I don't think they would ever fake anything, but, that was just a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go to people like Ed and Lorraine, they're the grandparents of every last one of us out there. Every one of us that investigates, whether you like it or you don't, have to thank people like Ed and Lorraine,
mm-hmm.
because they're what got us in the first place.
Yes.
In the 80s, we didn't have ghost hunting shows. We had, around Halloween, we had these god-awful made-for-TV movies that we lapped up like they were, the greatest thing on earth. Mm-hmm. We had, this is an orb, this is a ghost.
Yeah.
So you had this. And that was Ed and Lorraine that was bringing this to us. They were discussing. But there comes a point in everyone's life where you have to go, okay, this was a lot of lack of a better word, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's what is true, what we've seen, what we view to be true, here's what we view to be nonsense. And unfortunately for those that will, you know, live off every word they say, there's too much out there, too many interviews out there that completely disprove anything they've said.
Yes. Yes. And the more you look, the more you'll find.
The Enfield Poltergeist, I think, bothers me more than Annabelle.
Yeah.
Because Annabelle, it's a great story. I mean, it's a nice little short story.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Aloisi, you know, who does those kinds of books, couldn't write a better story.
Yeah, it was but definitely a good story.
It as a good short horror story. The rest of it, I mean, it just became a lore unto itself.
Yeah.
And then you get these movies with this, you know, be scary. If, you know, why make it more scary? If it's truly terrifying, why make that the film version look different than the actual thing?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Find out it's a Raggedy Ann doll and you're going, are you serious?
Yeah, exactly. And people, I've seen people claim that, no, Annabelle is real. I had one of those dolls when I was a kid, and the doll in the movie was made by a prop designer for the movie.
Yes, it's just a Victorian-style doll that they made. I mean, it.
Mm-hmm.
Most children, people have grown up, yeah, we've seen dolls similar to that, but
mm-hmm.
it was made to be scary.
Yeah.
Like I said, Robert the Doll was the inspiration, you know, behind Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Chucky doesn't look like Robert the Doll.
No.
You know, it's Hollywood does a thing, but then again, you get to Enfield and Dave Schrader did a podcast with the investigator.
Yeah, with Guyline Playfair.
In which that investigator talked about it. Dave had spoken about Brain and Ed multiple times. He had Chris Quarantino on, which
that
was an amazing story.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
I believe what Chris talks about. I've tried to speak to Chris since, but it's
kind of
hard.
Yeah, I reached out to him, but I didn't get a response, and I didn't think I would. He had a lot going on when I reached out to him, and they just did that documentary he was on.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
I'm sorry, my dogs.
Brother is making it. But when it comes to whatever the address is now, I cannot remember. I don't know, it'll always be 112.
Yeah, they changed it to 108.
That house, the lore behind it, will outlive all of us. I mean, it outlived the Lutzes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George and Kathy are gone. They were divorced shortly after, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah. There. Yeah.
That house will, you know, stay away from that house. That house brings nothing good. It will destroy you. It will take something from you that you don't understand until you're older.
Okay.
People, Eric himself had talked about getting violently ill at that house, and I will never forget yelling at him about it. It's, that house is not something to play with. That's not a joke. It's not something Hollywood just created. You know, Butch murdered his entire family in that house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, was it a good house? No. And more often than not, you know, Ronald Sr., he may or may not have had his hands in some other things in this world. You know, he definitely was connected, but something happened in that home. A year later, it was purchased and became one of the most famous houses in history.
Yeah.
Because of a story that, again, came out in Home and Garden and took a life of its own. I've read Jay's book. I've read a lot of his accounts. I've read a lot of people's books on it. It's not much in this world will scare me. I've listed off everything that's happened to me. I live in a haunted home. I've investigated many homes. You know, I grew up New Jersey is a hotbed for, you know, everything for some weird reason.
Interesting, yeah.
And I will say that that is the only location that has ever terrified me, and I feel like it took something away from me, and I never been able to get it back. A lot of people want to go get their picture with it, and that's fine, but stay away, because that house, forget it, it's a truly terrifying location.
I've always wanted to visit myself, but I will take heed of your warning. But it's interesting that it's sold so many times.
The price on the house is now up to, I want to say, over $1 million. And there are people that want to buy it and make it essentially a paranormal Airbnb, which that's no different to what they did to the farmhouse.
Yeah.
You know, the Conjuring house, which just essentially became a paranormal Airbnb.
Yeah, so did the Lizzie Borden house.
Yeah, that one. I've never been to the Borden house, but I know enough about it. I've seen enough about it. We have one in Guthrie, Oklahoma, that's essentially a Airbnb / paranormal hotbed. Ghost Hunter City episode there, the Stone Lion Inn in Guthrie.
Okay.
I've been there. I didn't experience anything, but it's not saying. But those are the things you don't want to do. Why feed into whatever's there? Because it will put even more negative energy out.
Yeah, I had a listener make a suggestion along those lines, saying that maybe the people going in to do their quote investigations are just making it worse by bringing in the energy that they're bringing in, the ideas and thoughts that they're having about the place, and just making it worse.
Absolutely. And a lot of locations, I feel, we go in there with a mindset of this is haunted, now I gotta prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we put a lot of our attentions into the air, into the ether, and that is what will manifest itself. That almost everything that has been associated with Ed and Lorraine has been the exact same. We put all this energy, all this out there, that we're manifesting things that could come true. I mean,
mm-hmm.
If you look at it, things such as Slender Man started out as a story, and now it's been put out there so much that there are actual reports of this now, and it started out as, I want to say, a Reddit story.
Yeah, it was a creepypasta, and it got so bad.
Now there are legitimate, what took this, what, you know, what latched on to this to manifest it, to create.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing with Annabelle. That's what we're doing with this Conjuring. You know, the entire series that, you know, truth be told, the little boy from the last Conjuring film was suing them for taking advantage of him in his mental state. I mean,
yeah.
If this really happened, why are they getting sued? Why are they being attacked?
Exactly.
Where are Annabelle's, you know, owners? Where are, you know, why is Andrea Perron putting out House of Darkness, House of Light, and essentially saying, oh, I love living there, but in the movie, you know, her mother's upside down and turning into some witch.
Yeah, in the movie they make it seem like they were in danger, that they were miserable, and parts of her book make it sound like they were miserable, but then parts of it are like, oh, we loved it, you know, we were really sad to leave it. She gets really emotional when she talks about going back and, like, the things the spirits have supposedly said about her return. Like, I listen to everything that comes out. I try to keep up, and there's, you know, constant investigations in the house, and she likes commenting on the things, because people reach out to her and be like, well, this happened while we were there, can you explain this? And she's like, oh, and she gets emotional, and she's like, that's this spirit, and this is the experience we had with that spirit, and it starts to get really cheesy.
When you're at a location such as that, I mean, it's a famous location now, but when you're in a location and you investigate it very, very heavily, I hate to admit it, you form attachments to these things.
Mm-hmm.
These entities. Myself, you know, I keep going back to the Victorian house in El Reno. I have an attachment. I feel like when it's my time, I'm going to end up in that house. I love hearing stories from other people that, you know, were able to visit the house while, you know, they still did tours. I don't believe they do the tours anymore. It's an attachment. And when you talk about it fondly. Even if it wasn't good, well, we discovered wasn't good in that home. However, you form an attachment to it, and it's almost like talking about one of your own children.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about it that way. So how do you feel about the Conjuring story, the hauntings that took place there, based on some of the stuff that's come out about false history and stuff? Do you think there really is something there as well?
I apologize, I didn't hear you very well.
No worries. So a lot of people say that there's a lot of false history that the movie tried to say was real, specifically about Bathsheba and her being a witch and stuff. And then there's a lot of people who are advocating for Bathsheba and saying that she really, in actual history, had nothing at all to do with the property. She never lived there. She never was accused of witchcraft. She didn't die from hanging or any other violent way. She died, you know, of old age. But the movie and Andrea are perpetuating a history that doesn't exist.
I believe that at this point, because of the success of that film, that franchise, and it's very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are going to push that. Yes, this happened. This happened. It comes down to one thing: research it.
Yes.
Everything is out there.
Yes.
The Bathsheba thing, I did do a little bit. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to lie. I didn't look into it too heavily. At the end of the day, I really didn't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was just, I didn't care for it. I thought, it was just an excuse to bring something out. But I did get interested, and I did read the first of the House of Darkness, House of Light books that one of my old friends had recommended. And, wow, it's night and day. The Bathsheba thing, when I read, none of that was even remotely true.
Mm-hmm.
Just from what I've read, I'm not saying I researched it.
Yeah.
I've done more research into other, things. That one, from what it seems like, it was just a haunted farmhouse that took on a life of its own. The Andrea grew up. She wrote about it. Yeah, she made money off of it. Then she started making more when, whatever bought the rights to make this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, if you look, what they say in her books versus what she's probably saying now, I can pretty much guarantee you are two different things.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
I don't put stock in it. I don't at all.
Yeah, I did. And then the deeper I go, the deeper I research, the more information I dig up, the harder it is for me to believe pretty much anything associated with the Warrens.
I will say, and I stand, this is a sword I'm willing to die on. Ed Warren was a sweet person to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was very kind. He was very gentle with me. I was, maybe 12, 13. I mean, I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very, anything that comes out of Lorraine's mouth, I will roll my eyes and laugh about. I quit with them. I didn't care. Do whatever. I'm not making money. I'm not a part of any television shows. I'm not a part of anything. I'm just a truck driver now in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't care enough about these people to, they don't live rent free. However, when these films came out, so much of it, everything will start to change. The perception of anything, whether it was Annabelle or the, you know, the new one, The Nun, which everyone has come out and said, yeah, that's just made up, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real. You know, we made this up to continue and to add more stories. Okay, you're willing to admit that that's fake?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the rest of this is real.
Yeah.
And yes, there are liberties taken, but, I mean, let's be honest, if that their son-in-law wasn't making a killing off of this, do you really think we would be sitting here talking about it today?
Right.
We wouldn't.
Yes. And they are trying very hard. Tony Spear, the son-in-law, and the Nesper organization, they're trying very hard and going to extreme measures, as far as I'm concerned, to keep it alive by just recently announcing that tour that they're going to be taking several haunted items on. So that discredits a lot more for me, I believe, because if you wanted to put a lot of stock into what Ed and Lorraine did and what they used to say about these items, they should stay there forever. They should never leave. They should never be observed by anyone who's not aware of what their history is and the ability they are said to have, because if it were true, and if you were a person that deeply believed in this and was afraid of it, you're in danger.
It puts you in a state of danger. Also, what you said is absolutely 100% true. If you have this item that is supposedly dangerous, it has killed, it has scared, again, hardened police officers who've seen it all. Number one, why are you allowing anybody? Oh, I got $10 here. Let me go see this doll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to mess with it. I'm going to touch it. There's something you can do. You know, why are you allowing people to do this, to see this, to take this on, like you said, tour?
Mm-hmm.
John Zappas does tours all the time. And John will discuss everything. He doesn't bring his haunted items. You know, he keeps those at his museum, at his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he has things, he takes precautions with everything he does. He's their nephew. Why is he so much more intelligent and cares? But, I mean, toss a few bucks at this guy and he's going to let you into, you know, this basement
mm-hmm.
that, you know, is overcrowded and claustrophobic. So you're already feeling queasy because you're claustrophobic.
Yeah, and a lot of people want to chalk that up to the paranormal.
Yes, you know, you have this preconceived notion that when I step into this spot, the boss will tell you, hey, this room right here, it's very haunted. Things happen here. This, that, the other. You know, that Ronald McDonald doll will, you know, kill you if you mm-hmm. talk bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to already have fear.
Yep.
And that's what this tour is. We're perpetuating fear.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm open to prove me wrong. Prove me absolutely wrong. I'm not closed-minded, but the fact is it never will prove us wrong because they can't produce anything.
Exactly, and they just like to say that they will.
The truth. I mean, evidence is easily fake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, for the love of everything, you're over here trying to put on oven mitts and move this thing around. Seriously?
Yeah.
Susie Homebaker is all of a sudden, you know, the only thing that's going to defend, you know, keep you away from the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
But people are buying into this.
Yes.
And as long as that keeps getting pushed, that narrative is pushed out, it doesn't matter what we say.
Yep. And I find it really funny, the gloves thing, because there's a very, very famous photo of Lorraine carrying the Raggedy Ann doll we know as Annabelle, just carrying it. Normally, she's not wearing gloves. She's not protecting herself in any way. She's carrying it like a child, basically. And we're not allowed to touch her. You're not supposed to look at her. I've seen countless videos where Lorraine says, oh, I'm not going to look at her. You can look at her, but I don't make eye contact. And Yet we're having people taking selfies at Paracon and paying to, you know, do that and see her. And it's just bizarre.
Now, that begs the question. All this, and I have seen the photo of Moraine with, you know, Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's awfully funny to me. The more you discuss it, the more you think about it, the new rules that are keep coming out about this, I challenge you, go back and look at the Robert the Doll. Now they're the same damn rules of Robert. Ask permission.
Yep.
Don't taunt it. Don't. All that started coming out after Robert, you know, came out. Robert's been around since, what, the 20s?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Annabelle's rules are changed to be Robert's rules.
Yeah. And it's very mimicky.
The more you think about it, it's, hey, they're making money off this doll in a museum. Hey, we could do that.
Yeah. They're failing to acknowledge the fact that Robert already had a very solid story and a very solid, you know, group of believers that backed it. Annabelle didn't have that. Her story was not solid. Her roots are not traceable. Like, Robert's are.
Robert also was found again after the owner passed away.
Yeah.
And they sold the house.
Yeah.
And they were rediscovered. Annabelle's just like, oh, well, we had this doll, and it was writing things, and now I'm getting scratched, but they're gone the next day. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, about the scratches. I didn't address this in Annabelle Part 2 because it didn't occur to me in the moment, but so there's a part in the interview where I'm talking with Jill Amadio, and she says that she remembered, even though she said her memory might, you know, be off or whatever, because, you know, a lot of time has passed, and that's fair. Memories don't hold up so well. But she said she remembered that the man said he was scratched on his back. And then I thought, well, okay, she remembered that wrong, because I'm pretty sure the article says his chest and stomach. No. The article says his body. The book says his chest and stomach. So he could have told her it was his back.
Yeah, there's no, you know, definitive anything. I mean, you know, the scratches. Oh, but they were gone the very next day.
Yeah, and that's always the way. You know, it's psychic scratches so they heal.
On an investigation, I've been scratched. A, it burns like hell. And B, it's very rarely is it gone the next day. Normally it's there for a few days, and I'm a fast healer.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, well, this doll was moving around, and it was sitting curiously. Well, it's kind of funny if it was doing all that. Why is it not doing that now?
Yeah. Oh, and another thing about the doll moving. So originally in the story, I'm pretty sure in the book, the story is the doll would, you know, they found it kneeling at one point, and it was not capable of doing that. Well, there's an interview with Ed where he says he saw the doll lift its arms up and put it on the table.
That was actually, I want to say that was in the Demonologist that he wrote about that.
Yeah, he wrote about.
I listened to it on Audible, and I rolled my eyes for the entire thing.
Yeah. And I don't, and I need to get a hold of one of the original copies and compare and see how many changes were made. But the him seeing the doll, he didn't originally see it, and then later in like interviews, he would say he did see it with himself.
So
it's hard to keep that story straight.
I mean, if I tell you that I have a haunted G.I. Joe from 1980, and okay, well that doesn't seem scary. Okay, well they said this. And I'm telling you, I promise you, I saw it move.
Mm-hmm.
You're eventually going to keep adding to it, okay, that scared them. Let me add.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is a letdown to people.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Not everything in this world is scary. Not every, my own story with Amity, guess what? It's not as, oh my God, as people would think. It was really just something basic, but yet it terrified me.
Yeah.
You know, these things, the simplicity, folks, is what makes it, when you add to it, and you have too much detail.
Yes. Full of it. Yes. The too much detail thing.
Especially over the years. Look, I can't remember what I had for lunch 3 days ago, let alone, something that happened 30 years ago, but these people seem to, they're dead and gone. But yet, that story just keeps spinning.
Yes.
It's getting wilder.
Yes.
It's getting crazier.
Yep. And, and
all I could say is take 5 minutes of research. I mean, the truth is out there.
Agreed. I love it.
It's stupid and funny, but I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Everything now is public record. We don't, it's not like it used to be. You don't have to go down to a library to research something. Just look at it on your damn cell phone.
Yeah. And don't read just one, like read a lot and compare them so you can find the facts within.
Exactly. I mean, look for the little details that change with the retelling of every story.
Yeah.
Look, I can tell you the same story tomorrow and some of it might be a little different. My memory is shoddy. I've lived a very long life in which, a lot of that was a very minimal part of my life. I love it, and I will do this until the day I die, and then I'm going to make people's lives miserable because I'm going to haunt the hell out of everything.
I've always said if I could choose to haunt, I would, at least for a little bit. It'd be fun.
Oh, I'm going to mess with all my friends. If you're my friend and you're out there, I'm going to haunt your underwear drawer.
I love it.
But, I mean, we have to understand that at the end of the day, the most terrifying thing are always the most mundane.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, the feeling of being violated, having my things move, having things disappear, being touched, those are more frightening than a story about a Raggedy Ann doll, a story where I spent 15 minutes in this house, but here, read this book, and it's going to give you all these EVPs, and I'm talking to these people. It's not recording. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It does not work that way.
Yeah.
At all. And that's where I get so frustrated, because we cannot move forward. And we should all be a family in this. Unfortunately, we're not. That's why I call it high school.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting each other because we all want to be famous.
Yes, yes, yes. Everyone wants to have the biggest, best story and have the biggest, best reaction.
They all want to be, the next ghost hunters, the next,
mm-hmm.
Ghost adventurers. Hey, we all want to be the next paranormal state. Whatever happened to those people? Oh, that's right. The thing is Zach Baggins who admitted to the faking evidence.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what this is. And Ed and Lorraine are the perfect example. They made a life out of this. They started out painting pictures of people's houses. Why are you doing that? Oh, because you're haunted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an artist.
Yep.
I'm doing this because, if you buy this painting of your home, I'll come in and investigate it.
Yeah.
And, come on. Lorraine talking about how, I saw this tree die when I was a little girl in parochial school. They basically beat it out of me. No, come on.
Yeah.
Show me your proof.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've never shown a bit of proof. Oh, well, here's the doll. That's proof enough.
Yeah, exactly. We have tons of proof, but we're definitely not going to show it.
Yes. And that team, now that's all it is. It's, okay, well, we are a paranormal team. We will investigate. Trust me, I speak to Eric. Eric has investigated. He's done everything. He did everything for that team.
Yeah.
And they threw him away like it was nothing. And then threatened him. And I got news for you. A real team isn't going to do that.
Exactly, yes. And a real team won't stop taking cases to further their fame.
Yes. I mean, the TAPS team, guess what? Not every case they do is seen on television.
Yeah.
They have a team specific. Oklahoma has a TAPS team. Every state has a team associated with TAPS. Why? It's to further the field and to make a connection, a wide connection. That's what we needed.
Yeah, I agree.
They had their TV team, which, I mean, they're, everyone but Grant now doesn't have to work a day in their lives. But they still keep everything simple. They still do. And they are not afraid to say, you're crazy. This ain't a haunting.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, we're not trying to perpetuate things for money. We're trying to actually do something here.
I had a case where a lady told me that there were pennies materializing in her home. So we drive to her home. I spend hours in this home that is extremely uncomfortable, extremely filthy. And when nothing was happening, I watched her flick a penny. Oh, look, there's a penny. I'm like,
yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, some people really need that attention.
Oh, they, unfortunately, this is the team I left because, oh, well, no, she's my friend. Yes, that really happened.
Yeah.
You're not going to make money. You know, screw the money. Put the time in. Put the research in because you love it.
Yes. And because you want answers, not because you want to give answers.
You know, yeah, it's fun to talk about things like Annabelle. It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ooh, it's a good ghost story.
Yeah.
Again, my friend Michael, he can write a better story than that. However, you know, you take a good story and you spin it to the point where it's so widely unbelievable, but new people that come in just because of these films, they want you to go to hell and just shut up. How dare you talk bad about these? They never took a 2 seconds to research it.
Yeah.
This is why I appreciate your podcast, because you are asking questions. You are not afraid to take punches, to, you know, give the punches.
Thank you.
Done the research. I find it impressive because not everyone will.
Thank you very much. I was just laughing the other day because I have a few one-star reviews, which I find very funny. And I'm very proud of my one stars because those are the people that are proving me right, you know, showing that they won't listen. They won't accept the research and the facts. They just want to believe what they believe and poo-poo on everything else.
The detractors in this world are the proof of I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
The more you fight, the more you yell and say that because you took the time to research, you're on something. And upon listening to, you know, a lot of your, I haven't listened to all of them. I listened to a majority. Kind of funny how they're contacting you to try and prove. It's because you touched the vein.
Yes.
To say, hey, I'm calling you out. You know, him threatening Eric, that made me angry because, number one, I will defend my friends.
Yes.
Number two, if you're really that quick to threaten, to shut somebody up, what does that person know?
Yes, exactly. What are you hiding? Yes, exactly. Yes. That is a big thing.
If I threaten you for my story, what am I hiding?
Yep.
I'll open book.
Yep. If you aren't hiding anything, you will accept everything as it comes and stand your ground on your story.
You know, I don't care who says what about me, about this field. Just do it yourself. Research it. Stop believing what everybody will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can tell you that any item is haunted. My cell phone I'm looking at right now is haunted. This car going by me is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I could spin you a pretty good lie and a good yarn, and I could sell you on that. And
yep.
10 years down the road, we're going to see another Carrie because some guy saw this haunted car.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you tell them with enough gusto, it makes it true. But it all goes back to the intent, what we're putting out there, and what we will eventually make true, what will latch on.
Yes, agreed.
The nonsense very well could eventually manifest itself, not on that doll, but on something else.
Yeah, and they'll have the Annabelle as the backing.
Yeah, you know, we'll have, you know, Raggedy Andy or something as Annabelle now, and it's just, you gotta be careful what you pour yourself into, what you pour the intent into, because eventually it does manifest and it does come back. There are inhuman entities out there, elementals, anything, that will latch on
mm-hmm.
and can create. Again, quotes, because a lot of it, it was a story, but mm-hmm. now we're getting more and more and more and more.
Yep. And we even have, like, that story specifically, not only has it developed a lore where people actually feel like it's real, it also developed in children's fears to the point of children with mental illness committing murder.
Yes, I know. I watched a documentary and found out my youngest son found out about Santa, and I just about got, I think my wife was ready to kill me over that, but, I mean, with people that girl killed those girls, you know, they murdered that innocent child because they truly believed in this.
Yeah, and
was that real, or was that, you know, another DeFeo or Lutz situation? There's no telling.
Right. And I forgot that little girl actually survived. She wasn't murdered. It was attempted murder, but she miraculously survived. And then the girls who committed the crime, they're wanting out of their confinement now. They're petitioning to be released.
Yes. And all this is, if you really think about it and you watch that documentary, it's a very fascinating documentary. And for a lot of things, number one, look, I don't know. I've seen a lot. There are a lot of stories. There are just as many stories of the black-eyed children.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And that's terrifying to me.
Yeah, I am petrified of them.
Jersey Devil, there are more stories about. But this seems to have taken on a life, and there are things out there that people are dead set. This is true. This is what happened.
Yeah.
There's evidence coming out. So we did manifest something. Yes. It is, I don't know.
Exactly, yeah. And Ed, I've heard Ed say that before, that you got to be careful with what you manifest, because thinking about these things, and his big thing was, you know, dabbling in occult stuff, but just thinking about it, just, you know, worrying about it, a lot of it is worrying, because the more you worry, the more energy is put into it, and worrying is a big energy creator.
The more we stress about things, the more negative things become, the more something will latch onto it. And again, I'm not saying it's a demon. You know, not in the slightest will I ever say that, but something out there will latch on.
Mm-hmm.
And it will create, it will manifest, it will haunt you. I'm a huge believer in don't touch a damn Ouija board. Do I have one? Yes, I have one. I found in Arkansas, just because I thought it, I like the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mess with it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't anything, because you are inviting God knows what into your life, into your home.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, but, look, Mattel doesn't own the spirit world. I believe that. You know, Jason Hawes said that. I agree with that ever since I heard that. It's whatever intention you're putting
yes, in. Yes, it's the person, the operator, yes.
You know,
even though it's just a toy, it's still a tool that can be misused.
Yes. Any toy, you know, can be used. Every single toy ever created is a tool in this field. I mean, people think it's crazy, but we, as a Victorian, we set up toys to try and see if the little girl would play with them.
Yeah.
There was a hospital in Guthrie that had they called it the Vincent Price Room. But they had toys and experiments set up there, just, and there were 24/7 cameras on it to try and catch. I mean, a toy is a very good tool. It really is.
Yeah, you know? I could definitely see that.
And if you're a dumbass kid that's trying to summon, you know, the spirit of their great Aunt Gertrude, that's great and fine and dandy. It's so fun until things start to happen.
Yeah, and you're not paying attention to what you're actually doing and what you're opening.
Yes, we all have lied about things. It's not hard for something to say, yes, that is me.
Yeah, exactly.
And next thing you know, you're invited in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what a Ouija board is. It's a child's toy just to kind of express fun and think that you're playing and everyone's toying with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the rare occasions where it works, well, you just invited something into your home, you don't know what it is, and how much damage could actually be done with a simple toy.
Absolutely. So, since you brought up these things, these toys and such, what is, before we wrap this up, I want to wrap it up with a story. What is your most memorable story involving a paranormal experience you had that you'd be willing to share?
That I'm willing to share? I'm going to go with historical reader.
Okay.
The member of the team I was with also happened to work for him, so that's how we had unprecedented access to the Victorian. He's no longer there, so I don't feel bad about this.
Okay.
But we had our tour group, I want to say on the second landing, him and I decided to go into the attic. We wanted to check on the toys, you know, see if anything had been messed with. We were discussing, you know, whatever happened that night. And pitch black, I'm sitting there talking. He's talking to me. And I turn my flashlight on because I'm feeling like I'm face to face. And you know that feeling you get when somebody's staring at you.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I turn on the flashlight, there's a, you know, the top of a brick fireplace, you know, in the older houses, they go up into the attic before they go out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a face completely out from, I'd say, temples all the way back to the other temple that immediately sucks back into this chimney.
Wow.
It's a male face. I stopped what I was doing. I looked over, and this gentleman had a face on, and I held my hand up, said we will not speak about it, and we continued to do it, and I asked him, after we had left the attic, what did you see? Chuck, I saw a face. Okay, what happened? Let's sit up back into the chimney while you know, as soon as you put, okay, that's all I need to know.
Just confirmation.
that same night, we're sitting down in one of the old bedrooms, and I set my K2 meter, which I would never offer it like a lot of people do. I've just put a little coin in there and keep it on. And we're doing an EVP session, which I hate to say it, after a while, they become very mundane. You do so many of them, you're like, okay. You know, I'm letting the tour ask their questions and giggling, and I'm watching my K2 meter float up in the air. It'd go up a few feet, go down, then it would, you know, spike, go up, drop down, and the third time it dropped down, there was a giggle coming from the bathroom area.
Oh.
It was kind of like a master bedroom. There was a bathroom directly off. A little girl's giggle in that area. Not everybody caught it, but a few of the tour group did catch it. One of my investigators kind of gave me the eye. They had caught it. I mean, those are things I'm willing to discuss. There's been more. Unfortunately, if my wife can't drag it out of me, nobody can.
Understood. That's fair. Alrighty then. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing with me and discussing those things about the Warrens and your experiences with them. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we go?
Do the research.
Yes.
Take your time. If you want to believe it and unquestionably believe it, that's fine. I mean, you'll be a part of, I call the sheep of the world, where you'll believe anything they're told.
Yes.
But do research. You know, don't jump in this thinking it's fun and it's just a toy. You know, this field will stay with you for life, whether you like it or you don't. There are things that will follow you for life.
Yes.
You know, do your research before you ever think about messing with these things.
That's really great advice. I think that I agree with that very much. Alrighty, I'm waiting for her to stop barking so I can thank you and tell you goodbye. Give me 1 second. All right. I appreciate you coming on the show so very much. Thank you again. I will get this all edited and put together, and as soon as it's ready, I'll put it up and send you the link.
I appreciate it.
Thank you again so much. If you think of anything else you want to talk about and you want to come back on the show, we can totally do that too. And if any of the listeners come and to me with any questions they have for you, we can do a follow up there also and do a Q&A.
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm a truck driver. I'm available, certain days. I'm perfectly fine, and I don't mind answering people's questions.
Awesome. Perfect. Alrighty then, I will let you go and I will get to editing.
Alright, thank you much. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Alright. Bye.
Thank you again so much to Chuck. I so appreciate you coming on my show and telling your experiences with the warrants and in paranormal investigation and your opinions on all of it. I truly love getting all the insight on the warrants and all these cases and famous locations. I plan to have Chuck back on again soon too, so if any of you listeners have any questions for Chuck, send them to me and I'll make sure I ask him next time. Same goes with all of my other guests. If any of you have any questions or comments, send them over. You can DM me on the social medias or send them to me at truthordemonspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, now a couple of things. Some podcast announcements. Truth or Demons Podcast is coming to YouTube! That's right. Thanks to some encouragement from friends, listeners, and fellow content creators, I'm finally taking the plunge into the YouTube world. So, what does that mean for the podcast? All that means is that starting with my next main episode, you will be able to listen to the episodes on your various podcast platforms and see them and see me on YouTube. I will also be putting up all the previously published episodes on YouTube as audio only and will eventually make videos for them down the road. I'm also going to do my very best to get more content out more often to you all as well. Main episodes will still release sporadically as I finish them because the research part is so important to me. I want each main episode to have all the possible info I can find from every possible angle. As far as for the extra content coming, I've got some fun things in store for you all. So, Saturday, January 6th, is the 1-year anniversary of my re-release, so I will be publishing all the episodes on YouTube Saturday to celebrate. And I will get some extras up when I finish up the next main episode, episode 6, Devil in the Courtroom. I've recently met and talked to some major players in this case, and I'm adding this new info to the episode. And the moment I finish it, I'll get it recorded and published. You guys, I cannot wait for you to hear all this dirt that I've dug up. It's gold. I have one more announcement to make, and some acknowledgements. I now have merch options. Thanks to the artists Lux Trauma and Clover Lavon's collection of creations, I have some amazing merch designs now available. I have them all linked in the link tree, which I will post in all the show notes, and you can find on all of the social medias in the bios. I will also link both artists so you can check out more of their work. Big, big thanks to them for nailing the designs. I love all of them so much. And I have one more coming, a special one to release with episode 6. Wait till you see it. It's so good. I won't keep you all any longer. Thank you all for an amazing year. Thank you for all the likes, follows, theories, and interactions. I've met some amazing people through this little endeavor, and I'm loving every minute of it. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Until next time. Hello everyone! Are you ready to embark on a magical journey into the world of nature's treasures? Look no further than Into the Woods Stones and Crystals. Discover the enchanting collection of stones and crystals that will ignite your spirit and elevate your well-being. At Into the Woods Stones and Crystals, they offer a treasure trove of Mother Earth's finest gems, all carefully handpicked to bring you positive energy and healing vibrations. Whether you're a seasoned crystal enthusiast or just beginning your crystal journey, they've got something for everyone. From amethyst to quartz, citrine to obsidian, each crystal is a unique masterpiece waiting to enhance your life. And if you listened to my interview on Creepy Chisma, you know how much I love obsidian. But that's not all. When you shop with them, you're not just buying crystals, you're investing in a deeper connection with nature. Their crystals are ethically sourced and sustainably harvested, ensuring they protect the earth as they share its precious gifts. And here's a special treat for you listeners. Use code TRUTHORDEMONS, all one word, at checkout to enjoy an exclusive discount on your purchase. Ready to bring a touch of magic into your life? Visit their website, into-the-woods-stones.myshopify.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. Explore their exquisite collection, and don't forget to follow them on social media for updates, special offers, and crystal wisdom. I will put all links in the show notes. Into the Woods Stones and Crystals, where the magic of nature meets the power of your spirit. Shop now, enter Truth or Demons at checkout, and let the journey begin.